Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. It's good to have you with us today. We are now in the teachings of Jesus and his whole life, and that is a wonderful, wonderful study that we've been doing. I think it's so cool where Matthew, Mark, and Luke, most of them wrote the same stories, and yet John is something completely different. Remember, that's all based on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that inspired all of the writing. And so it gets, today we're going to study, Jesus is going to talk about marriage and divorce. He's going to talk about the little children's coming. He's going to talk to the rich young ruler. And this will be the second time. And then when we get done with that, we're going to read it again. It'll be the third time. And that's very interesting, doing it chronologically like this, because that's the impact of it. And yet, getting it 3 days in a row, the same thing, it should start getting into having an effect on us. You know? Today's the 31st of October, so I encourage you all day long, speak life.
Amen.
Speak life wherever you go. Speak life to yourself. Speak life to your family. Speak life to your neighbors. Speak this to the apartment complex. Speak life inside of here. Everywhere you go in your city, speak life. Every time you drive by one of those houses decorated to glorify the devil, speak life over it. Pray that they have a dream and a vision. I'm telling you, now that I see this, that's my prayer for everybody. That's my prayer for everybody. Why? I don't have to do the work to convince them. Why would I try to do it when they're already resisting God? God tells me to speak to them, we will, but my goodness, God can give them a technicolored vision and dream of exactly where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
They'll straighten their life out in a quick hurry and help us, Jesus. But that's what grace is all about anyways. You trying to do it all in your strength, or you trying to walk it out with God? And if you're in the middle of that battle, just keep walking it out with God. No matter what, you just look to heaven and say, I'm going to do this right. I am going to walk with you in every part of my life. Well, Matthew 19 is where we're starting. So grab your Bibles. And we'll make our opening prayer. Say it with me. Whoops. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Goodness,
look at that mosquito.
Hmm?
Mosquito.
Oh, I know. We have this huge mosquito in here
guide
bombing us.
You should be able to be a little more focused than a mosquito, Pastor. I know, but that thing is huge. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. He had thought 4 inches of snow would have killed all the mosquitoes.
They were in here toasty warm.
Matthew 19. Chapter 19, verse 1. Came to pass when Jesus had finished these things, he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisee also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife just for any reason? I don't remember that saying that. That's interesting. And he answered and said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man and his wife, it is better not to marry. Jesus just shook his head. That's not in the Bible, just in case you were looking. Verse 11, he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have been made, who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Jesus blesses the little children, verse 13. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. The rich young ruler. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which one? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? they must have been rich. They wouldn't have said that. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to him, to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 10 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers, sisters, father, mother, or wife, children, or lands for my sake shall receive a 100-fold return and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Jesus was giving very specific instructions there.
Mm-hmm.
Very specific instructions about money. And we're going to read the book of Mark next. I think that's where we're going, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Mark chapter 10 is going to say the same thing. And yet, in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus speaks to the rich young ruler and then to the disciples, he gives much more detail about this very specific story and principle that he has given here. So here we go. Mark chapter 10. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came again. I put that word in there, but they were like a bad case of the itch, man. You couldn't get rid of them.
Love you, Sunday. Have a good night.
Love you, Sunday. You can stay for the whole program if you want. Getting too sleepy? Nothing better to fall asleep to than the word. Amen. Verse 10:2. Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. He answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote this precept. Really? The greatest reason that Jesus gives for divorce is hardness of heart. Somebody's being hard-hearted. Or two people are being hard-hearted. Keep reading. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote the precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And in the house, his disciples ask him again about the same manner. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. You can't get it much more plain than that right there. 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. Now, I need to pause for a minute here. That's very plain what Jesus just said. If you married someone that's divorced, you committed adultery. That's just read the book. I don't care what Dr. Reverend so-and-so, anybody says, Jesus is telling you what's going on. Now, if you've done that, you can't stay down underneath of it. I'm not God. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you, as a pastor, you've got to get the blood of Jesus and the righteousness of Jesus up. You got to get your heavenly prayer language out, and you got to get alone with God and get yourself restored to God. He restores the years the locusts have eaten. For me to sit here and say, you go back to your husband, you can't do that, because there's so many severe situations. There's no carte blanche answer on this. The answer is you, I heard Dr. Winston say it, if you mess up, fess up, get up, and grow up, right? Get past it. Don't be stuck there. Divorce is one day. And then from then on, you're in a different reality. If you can restore to your wife, restore to her. If you can restore to your husband, restore to him. But if that situation isn't going to work, you've got to get up and get moving. You can't just sit there. And divorce is not the worst sin. Hatred, violence, strife. And if you put all that together and you don't ever curb it, that leads to murder. Well, which of those sins is worse than divorce? A sin is a sin is a sin. And that's why I'm saying I'm not going to tell you. I can't sit here and tell everybody in one little broadcast what to do. That, except this, you walk with God and you do what he tells you to do, because that's what brings the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that it will rule your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Now, and I'll say this to you, if I've just said something tonight and it plucked your heart on this, you might not want to say anything publicly, and that is okay. My email address is right down there in the notes, the description of this program. And I encourage you, it'll say show more, click that show more, and send me an email, really, send me an email. I can help you with this. I can help you with this. I really can. And I want to. I want to be a blessing with you on this issue. Got to keep going. Ready? Verse 13, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus saw it, and he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will by no means enter it. Now, that's a pretty specific statement right there. If you don't receive the kingdom as a little child, you don't even get to enter it. He took them in his arm, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, I like this verse right here, because it doesn't say it in the other ones, but Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. He was getting an opportunity to become one of the disciples. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Now listen to what Jesus says. This is so important. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? So see, there's the hard issue. Trusting in the riches and not trusting in God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they were greatly astonished at this statement, saying, well, then who can be saved? They were obviously rich men, or they wouldn't have made that statement. Because what he's talking about is it being hard to enter heaven if you're rich. Jesus said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, everyone who has left house or brothers, sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Every one of us who give up our life to God for him to touch us. Jesus said he's going to bless him. 100-fold return. 100-fold return. Those of you that help us make this program come to pass every day, those of you that just come and listen, and you're determined to be here with us, there's 100-fold return for you. You're sowing your faith, you're sowing your prayers, you're sowing your time. Not only do you get the blessing of greater understanding of the Word of God, you get the blessing of 100-fold return. Verse 32. Now, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed, the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, scourge him, spit on him, and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Well, now, he just told them everything that's going to happen. And in it, he said that you're going to rise again. See, now, you got to realize Israel in that time was under Rome. And when they said scourge and betray and turn him over to the Gentiles, these guys are like, is this going to happen to us too? He looks like he's got it handled. What's going to become of us? Because they're his followers. Verse 35, James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we're able. At least they're filled with zeal. Yes, sir, let's do it. You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right or my left hand is not mine to give, but is for those to whom it is prepared. So when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. You shall not be so, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank you, Jesus. 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Of course, he's not sitting in the road where Jesus is. He's got to be off to the side because he can't see and he doesn't want to get trampled. I mean, think about Jesus. He's got a crowd of about 10,000 people following. So it'd be real easy for a beggar, blind guy, to be trampled. And you might say, well, why wouldn't people just step over him? I don't know what happened in Korea, but man, 150 people were trampled and died. You would think that people could not step on him, but so I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now, may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is the part where we do the circle of wagons, where we kind of put in like a major circle here. What did Jesus say to us today? Well, what he's saying to us every day is walk with me. It's like we said about the divorce. It's like we said about the money. Just like we said about the Pharisees and religiosity. The greatest answer to all of it is walk with God every day and be as close to him as you can be. Meditate in that law day and night. And you will be like a tree planted. God doesn't lie. There's no lie in him. You know, Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. He said, meditate in this law, and you will make your way successful, prosperous, and you will have great success. How? Meditating in the law. Living in the word of God. Speaking it abundantly every day of your life. Have you ever noticed the fewer confessions you make in a day, the less strength that you actually have to overcome and move through opposition with no trouble? What? Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, choke out the world. The word, really, I don't think most of us have a desire for Facebook. It's just there and we do it. And it chokes the word, because that's the time you're supposed to be meditating on the word, and then we give it to Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, something. And just for the record, good job, Elon. Keep firing them, man. Keep firing them. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, how did you circle the wagons, Pastor? And what did Elon Musk have to do with it? I'm just proud of him. Firing all those executives. What is he doing? He's cutting off the head of that which was so out of whack with Twitter. And that thing is going to become a powerful force. Thank you, Lord, for a billionaire man turning things around and saying, nope, there's going to be a voice, and I'm going to make sure of it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, one more time. Walk with God. Pastor, that means I probably got to read my own Bible. Yep. I mean, you got to get along with God and pray and talk to him and be focused and get it done. It means that. But it's worth it, because you grow in God and you build that one one-on-one and one-in-one relationship with him. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, if you came today and you've not been born again, you've not been saved, you've not received salvation, you've not prayed the prayer, whatever the word is, you know. And if you're just a sinner and you don't know anything about any of this, in order to go to heaven, Jesus is the door, you have to enter by him. So I'm going to pray a prayer. If you pray it with me and you mean it from your heart, you'll be right with God in 2 minutes. Let's see if I'm saying it right. You'll be right with God in 2 minutes. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
Now here's your point. Make a bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of
and
God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day for
reach
me.
Reach your arms out and say, I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
I receive you into my life right now, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my
with
life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and language. And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as life. A believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And just like that, you're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Welcome in. You're transferred from being a mere earthling to now be an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. You just went from darkness to light, from fear to faith. Why? Because Jesus came and lived on the inside of you. Now, the only thing that's left for you to do, which will take the rest of your life, is to become discipled in the ways of Jesus. That's all. He's here. He's leading you from the inside out. So it's not like you got to strain hard to hear him way up there somewhere. He's right here. He's right there. And he will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Now, you might say, I don't know how to do this, Pastor. Well, first step, get your Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference. New King James Version. That's what I recommend. If you buy the one that's got the nice leather, it costs you about $80. But you spent $80 on a movie or a show or a concert. And $80 on a book that's on the one and only book that can change your life and your eternity. Then begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. God brought you here so you could hear this program. Stick with us. He brought you here because you're like us, and you're going to see God like us. And it's going to transform your life. It'll be a blessing to you. When you lay down in your bed at night, say, Father, thank you that you are with me all day long. I'm going to go to sleep now because I know you're watching over me. And then when you wake up in the morning, say, Father, help me walk with you today. And then talk to him all day long like he's right beside you because, well, he's not beside you. He's with you. And he never sleeps, and he never slumbers, and he's with you 24/7. We're with you, not quite 24/7, but my email address is right down there. Send me an email and ask me a question. Tell me your story. Send me a prayer request, and we'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That's all we got for today, and may God bless the rest of your day as you worship God, walk with God, and conquer on this earth, occupy till he comes. Transform your world by telling everybody that Jesus loves and he wants to be inside of them and have a relationship with them. We always say this as we go. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you tomorrow.